Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Samaches, and we will begin on Daf Samaches Amar Aleph on the top line, Vrameim. In our previous shiur, we had begun a very serious discussion about Nois Tam L'Pgam, and how does the halacha view Nois Tam L'Pgam? And we had learned at the end of the shiur the machlokes of Rameir and Rav Shimon. Rameir holds Nois Tam L'Pgam is Osur, that the fact that it's foul tasting doesn't change the halacha. And Rav Shimon held that Nois Tam L'Pgam is Mutter. The last piece of Gemara we learned in our previous year was Rav Shimon giving us his source, why he says the Nois Tam L'Pgam is Mutter. Because the Torah, when it speaks about the Isser of Nevela, one that we may not eat nevela, says l'soch l'kol nevela l'ger asher b'sherecha titna v'achola. As we explained, the Torah says that we should give the nevela, which we may not eat, to the ger. But the Torah says titna v'achola, that the nevela will be eaten by the ger. And as the Chasam Sofer explained, saying that it should be eaten by the ger v'achola is superfluous. Of course, what is the ger going to do with it? He's going to eat it. So as we learned in our previous shiur, V'achola comes to teach us that the only type of nevela that's considered a nevela is V'achola, a nevela that could be eaten. That's why Rav Shimon says if it's not roi l'achila, it doesn't have the halacha of nevela. So Gemara we begin today asks Rameya, what will Rameya do with that pasuk? Says the Gemara, Hahu lamuti sruchim yikara. Ramey will agree that something that was from outset pogum, that means it wasn't that it was good and then became pogum, but it was nevela from the beginning, it was a type of piece of meat that was always a piece of nevela, that is not considered a nevela, and that's what the Torah says is mutter. Says the Gemara, tzruchem yikara letzruchem yuta. If it's in such a situation that it was never good, says the Gemara, for that I don't need a pasuk. Afra ba'almahu. If it's tzruchem yikara, then it's no more than afra ba'almah, than earth. It's meaningless. It's nothing. So that's not something that we would need a pasuk to teach us. And says the Gemara that because it is, so says the Gemara, that a whole new interpretation of the machlokes of Ula, of Rav Shimon Rameya, Amma Ula, Machlokes Rameya and Rav Shimon is Hishbiach Lepsai Pagam. Only in a situation where it was first, it added actually a good taste, and after it added a good taste, then it became foul tasting. Avol Pagami Karab, but if it was foul tasting from the beginning, the Reakol Mutter, everybody will agree that it's Mutter. So according to this, everybody agrees that if it was foul tasting from the beginning, Rameya and Rav Shimon will agree that that's called Nois Tam L'Pgam, and it won't be Isser. I say Rav Chama L'Ula, I say Rav Chaga L'Ula, so Rav Chaga asks a question to Ula. The Braisa teaches us, if you have Yayin Nesach, Shenofel L'Toy Chadoshim, that fell into beans, that mixture is pogum. As we discussed extensively in our previous year, chaimitz falls onto grisim, which is also a situation of pogum. In all these cases, to usur, the loch is that it's usur. Rav Shimon matter, and Rav Shimon, consistent with his opinion, will say it's not an issue. The adoshim may be eaten, the grisim may be eaten, because it's nois tam l'pgam. Ask the Gemara Bahaka, but let's think about this. The Pogami Karahu, that we're dealing with a situation of Pogami Karo, and yet, Pligi, we still have a Machloikis, Tanoim. So how could you say, Ula, that Pogami Karo, everybody agrees, is Mutter? Answers the Gemara, Amma Ula Chagaloi Medi Yadim Akayam Rabbanan. Rav Chaga doesn't understand well what the opinion of the Chum is, and now Tiyufta Kamaisiv, and now he attempts to ask questions. Hachamai Skinen, he explains What is the case of the mission of the spraisa? Hachmai skin and shenafel atoich kigosh shenafel atoich grisim tzayinim. As we discussed in our previous year, that when the chaimitz, when the vinegar falls onto grisim tzayinim, it's not pogim, it's shlishvach. And then afterwards he warmed it up, and that's a case of naskamish nizbiach. B'sai pogum, where first it was a nice time with shvach, and only afterwards did it become a nice time with gam, and that's where we have this machlokes that according to Meir it's osur, and that's where Rav Shimon holds its mutter. Says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan disagrees with Ula, and Rav Yochanan says with pogum meikara, where something is pogum from the beginning, that is the machlokes of Rameyer. That is the machloikus of Rameyer and Reb Shimon. If that, Rameyer learned from the halachas, as we discussed at the end of yesterday's shir, of kashering, gulei nachrim, that the Torah taught us after the war of Midian. From there, Rameyer says, we learn that the halacha is that something that's pogum, that the fact that it's pogum still is an issue, and that's why the Torah said it's kashering is required. The other hand, the opinion of Rav Shimon is that we learn from the Vela that something that's pogum is not a problem. Says the Gemara, in understanding how Rav Yochanan understands the machlokes or Meir of Shimon, Ibailu asked the Gemara, how do we understand the machlokes? Pogum makaris machlokes. Then now we're going to go back and say that Meir of Shimon are disagreeing when it's pogum makara. Aval shbiach l'psoi pogum. If it first was good and then became pogum, via divrei hakol osur. Even Rav Shlokish will agree that it's osur. Or idilma bein bezu. Even in the case where it's pogum mikara, or in the case of shbiach l'psoi pogum, in both of the cases will be a machlokes. That will be the subject of machlokes of Rameyer, Rav Shimon. How to paskin this? How to deal with such a situation? And the Gemara remains with a teiku. Tosfos asks that we just learned before that in the vela that was nesnabla of akach esricha, the halacha is that we learned the machlokes if it may be eaten or not. So how, asks Tosfos, can it not be a machlokes? If everybody agrees that if we're saying that everybody will agree, so Tosfos answers that when we learned before the shbiach l'psoi pogum, it's only in that case where it was good, and then it became pogum, and there we say that since it was good at one point, it remains Osur even after it becomes pogum. But when you speak over here by the case of Nevelishness Abel of Akach Esricha, their halacha is that it became pogum while it was still a Nevela. So it's not the same as the case that we learned before. Before we learned that the mixture at one point was okay. Here, the mixture was never edible. Since the mixture was never edible, even the Nevela was never edible, that might not, there, Rav Shimon may hold, there we have a question, what is the halacha? The Gemara has been speaking quite extensively about pogum, and we're learning the halacha from Nevela. Nevela is only v'achla, it's edible, not if it's not edible. So we're learning from here, as we're learning the machlokes, what would be the halacha if the vela is slightly pogum? Why would there be mutter to eat a mixture containing non-kosher ingredients because the non-kosher food gives a bad taste? But there are so many other ingredients. Says the Rashba, that although a prohibited substance such as nevela doesn't lose its prohibited status unless it's entirely inedible, the condition of inedibility is not required by a mixture where the nevela is a miyut. Because really, if we think about it, the roiv is kosher. The reason that the mixture becomes usur, even though if you have a rive that's kosher, is because the food that falls in, and that's a concept that we're going to be discussing extensively in our shurim, of milslavi latama. It's something here that gives taste. Says the Rashba, that if it's only not becoming bottle, because the fact that it's a nice tam, that it's giving tam, but if it's a nice tam of gam, and remembering that it's mutter, that's why the halach is that it's mutter. So in other words, what the Rashba is saying is that, as we just learned from Tosfos, when we speak about the halachas of nice tam of gam, the halacha clearly differentiates between when the nice tam of gam is in a mixture versus when the nois tam l'begam is here by itself. And that the halacha is much more lenient when the nois tam l'begam is part of a mixture, particularly when it's a miut, versus when it's nois tam l'begam as not part of a mixture, there the halacha is stricter. One of the most common food ingredients that's used is gelatin. And the way gelatin is made is they take either the hide or the bones of animals and they put it into acid and it becomes completely inedible. And then afterwards, after it's turned into gelatin that way, it's reconstituted and becomes edible. And the question is, of course, the issue of gelatin is at one point it wasn't edible. And we're learning in our Gemara that something that is inedible is not usur. What's going to be the halacha regarding gelatin? And this is not a new question, but it's been a question because here we're learning that it was musrach. We're learning about a situation where it became totally inedible. And then it became edible again because after it became gelatin, it became edible. The Chavstas says, the Chavstas psak is that something that became musruch, and not only did it become musruch, it became pogum. It became pogum to the degree that it's totally inedible, remains mutter forever. And that was part of the basis of why Reb Chaim Oizer held that if it's the gelatin, that even though it came from non-kosher hides and non-kosher animals, non-kosher bones, it may be kosher. There are many that disagree. And they say that just like we're learning in our Gemara, that our Gemara talks about musruch, about hishbiach u'b'soif hisriach. Hishbiach u'b'soif musruch. The same way we could speak about that type of situation, we could also speak about the reverse situation of musrach l'psayf hashbiach, and therefore it is the psak of Reb Moshe Zatzal and Reb Aaron Kotler Zatzal that the only way gelatin can be eaten is if the gelatin comes from a kosher from the bones or the hides of a kosher animal. What's most interesting to note, however, is that even though they're not relying on the heter, that at one point it was musruch, and that's why it remains kosher forever. But they do hold that if we have, they do hold that even though the gelatin is coming from hides and bones of an animal, so ostensibly they should be considered fleishiks, they should be considered a meat product. They will agree that if they come from kosher hides and bones, and then they went through this process that we briefly described, that they will be kosher, and not only will they be kosher, they're going to be actually considered parif. Continues the Gemara. Amr Eish Lokesh, Nois Tam L'Gam She'amru, when we speak about Nois Tam L'Gam, Lo She'em K'teirzu, I'm sorry, continues the Gemara, when we speak, says the Gemara, Amr Amram, Afshe Is L'Hod Rabbi Yochanan, if Rabbi Yochanan is correct that they're arguing about Pogam Mekarim, says the Gemara, V'Leitani L'Bim Esnisen, and there is no Mishnah that tells us this halacha, but says the Gemara, Nofak Dak V'Ashkan, they actually went to examine if they could find the Mishnah, and the Mishnah teaches us, the Tanan. The Mishnah in Masechta Arla Perek Bey's Mishnah Tess teaches us Sar Shechul and Shnafel Atoichi Isa. If Sar, as we discussed yesterday, sourdough yeast of Chulin that fell into the dough, and has enough and has the ability to make the dough rise, the chmitza, and indeed accomplished that, and continues the mishtvakach nafa sol shatruma, and then truma fell in asar shakale kerem, or yeast that is kale kerem, which is also asar v'yeshbe kedei lachmitz, and it made the dough so fermented that it became inedible. Asar, the Issa may not be eaten. So we see that the Issa gets the din of the Sar. And therefore, if it was Sar Shal Truma, it would only be mutatit by Kahanim. It was Kale Akerim, it would be prohibited. Rav Shimon Mata, because Rav Shimon says that the Sar, since the dough was already properly fermented, and when the Truma and the Kale Akerim fell in, it only made it worse, it only made it bad. That's why Rav Shimon's matter, says the Gemara. Here we have clearly a situation, that it was pogim from the outset, upligi, and we have the machlokes tanakam Rav Shimon. So we see that the machlokes tanoim that we were speaking about, our Gemara, is that pogim mikara is a subject of machlokes. Amar Rav Zeira, says the Gemara, this is not a compelling proof. It could well be that Rameya will agree that Pogimi Kara is not Osir. Vishani Isa, so why is this case different? Even though this dough is overly fermented and it's not edible, it could still serve to as a yeast for other doughs. And therefore, it's not considered Pogimi Kara. And that's the question, is it considered Pogami Kara or not? And therefore, that is not a raya. Rav Chaim Oizer and the Shal Sechuvas Achiezer Chelik Beis Yerodeya Simen Yur Aleph discusses a situation where we have a food that is not edible, but it can be used for other foods. He speaks about a case about a type of a powder that's made from the sediment of wine, non-kosher wine, that is mixed together with other ingredients that he says is used to make citron salts, which is citric acid. So the question is that since, as we're learning in our Gemara, even though this thing itself, this food that we're learning itself, is not edible, but it can make other foods edible, and then therefore it ought to be usher. The Rav Chaim Moses Tzal says that dafka by sor, that we're learning in our Gemara, that the sor is very different than other ingredients. When we talk about sor that's put into dough, into sourdough, which is used to ferment other doughs, that's why that sourdough is going to become part of the dough that we're going to eat. Since it's going to become part of the dough that we're going to eat, that's why he says the Gemara we just learned is machmer. In a case where this wine, and so it's going to be dough, so began as non-acceptable dough, truma dough, kalei kerem dough, and at the end of the day, it's going to be eaten in the form of dough. That's why the Gemara is machmer. But when we start off with the sediment of wine that has changed into the citric acid, it will never be used as wine. And therefore, since it's never going to be used as wine, the halacha is, that's why, says Rav Chaim Oizer, it could be that the halacha is that we could be lenient and only by the dough that the Gemara identified is the Gemara being machmer. Toshma, continues the Gemara, Sar Shel Truma V'Shel Chulin, Shenof L'Toch Issa. We have a combination of two yeast, two sourdoughs from chulin and from truma that fell into a dough. Bezeh kedei lahachmitz v'kedei kedei lahachmitz. Each amount of sourdough that fell in here has the ability to make this dough ferment. V'chimtzu, and they made it into and over fermented the dough. Osir, Rav Shimon Mater, Nafal shal truma tchila. But let's say what happened was the truma tzav dough fell in, and it had the ability, and it did indeed ferment the dough properly. And then the other dough fell in, there divrei hakol asur. Because it fell in, and it was sor shal truma, so somebody who's not a kohen cannot eat it. Nafal, on the other hand, shal chulin. If first the chulin tzav dough fell in, v'akach nafal shal truma, shal kalei kerem, and then the problematic sor fell in, the halacha is that it's asur, Rav Shimon Mater. Says the Marva Hocha, in our Gemara, we're speaking about a case that the Pogami Kara, that the first dough fell, the first fell in, that they fell in together, upligging, yet we have a machlaikus. V'chi teima, and if you'll say, ask the Gemara Hocha Namikid Rav Zeira, we'll say that we're speaking about it like Rav Zeira. And Rav Zeira says that Ramei agrees that when it's pogam mikara, it's not a problem. Here, it's not considered that a pogam, because it will be used, as we just said, to make other doughs rise. V'chit toshma misayfa. But let's learn the end of that braisa. The braisa says, yayin shnofel toy kadoshim, chaymet shnofel toy grisin, osur, because it's osur. Rav Shimon Mater, but says the Gemara v'hoch nami, here, says the Gemara, it's very clear that we're speaking about a case, the Pogami Kara, and yet Pligi, they even argue in such a circumstance. And says the Gemara, maybe over here we'll say, like we learned early in the Shir, Kedushani Le'ula Le'ab Chaga, like Shimon Ula told us earlier, that here it fell in Kishishbiach, the Chaimitz fell on the Grisim when they were still cold, the Yayin fell into the Dashim in a state where it doesn't ruin them yet. Ishbiach L'Soy Pogam, or Mi Pligib, Ishbiach L'Soy Pogam, Voktani, Nofel Satruma Tchila, we just learned that if the Truma fell first, the Reakal Osir. Now, afterwards, when the Sar Shechulin falls in, it's going to be Hishbiach L'Psoi Pogam. And everybody agrees that it's that it's Osir. Lav Shmamina. How must we explain this Braisa? That it's talking about a case of Pogam Yikara. And we learn from here that even in this case, it's a Machloik Shmamina. The Gemara just mentioned that we had three different cases of the Sar Shalchul and the Sar Shal Truma that fell in together. And the Gemara now explains why it was necessary to have all these cases. Says the Gemara, Hanitlos Baba Diktani, the three cases that we have learning Lamali. Says the Gemara, let's analyze. Baba the Sefer, where Yayin that fell into Adashim, and Choymitz that fell into Agrisim, the Kamashmalon, that the Machloikis is that Bepogami Kara Machloikis, that the Machamim Machloikis is Bepogami Mikara, not by Ishbiach or Besoif Pogam. Metziosa Nami, the case that Truma fell in, and after Chulin fell in, because it's coming to teach us the Ishbiach or Besoif Pogam, the Rehakal Osir. El Adoresha, the first case that said that if they fell in together, there's a Machloikis Lomeli. Hashta, says the Gemara, Mas Sefer. In the case where the Yayin fell into the Adashim and the Chomitz fell into the Grisim, the Loikam is Beklal, it doesn't help in any way, Asi Rabbanon, because they hold Nostam, Gam is Osir, Reisha, where the Chulin and the Truma fell in together, the Kamashbach Bebaya, where there's no reason for question. Amra Baya, Reisha, Lev Shimon Itzrich. The chedesh is that when the chulin and truma fell in simultaneously, the Rav Shimon holds its mutter itzrich. V'akam le'Rabbanan Rav Shimon. And the way to understand the brisa is this: what Rabbanan say to Rav Shimon? Isazul ruil chams b'shtei shos. When we have the chulin and truma falling in together, we would have used just one, it would have become fermented in 2 hours. Migarom lo b'shtach b'shah achatz. One made it ferment in 1 hour, iser. So that means that the chulin sourdough, the kalei kerem sourdough, had a very positive effect. So why you hold that it's mutter? Rav Shimon says, how does Rav Shimon defend himself? Hishbichu, when they made the dough into a dough, the Tzor of Truman, the Tzor of Chulin, Shnei Bishbichu, they both they both participated. And kishpagmu shnei pagmu. And therefore, since the tsar of truma was not here, didn't make it into dough itself, it needed the chulin sourdough. That's why it's not considered a case of something that we're going to hold as aser. Says the Gemara. So we're learning according to Rav Shimon, in a case with a sar shechulin and the sar of Shimon, the sar of chulin and the sar of truma fell in together. The halacha is that it's not aser because we could not rely on the sar of truma itself. Says the Gemara, let's start with hetav isabah. Why don't we say that we combine the iser, the truma, with the heter, and that creates a new substance, which is a combination of iser and heter, and iser and heter becomes all aser, and that should make that the new dough is aser. Let's start with iser, says the Gemara, that of course I saw that the Gra already points out that why is this not considered a case of Zev Zagayrim that we learned early in our Masechta. Zev Zagayrim is Mutter. So some say that Zev Zagayrim, according to Rav Shimon, is actually Usur. So the Gemara cannot rely on the Heter of Zev Zagayrim. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon is following his opinion. Even when we have two Usur substances, do they not combine? The Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Arla, Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph teaches us, Ha'orla v'akalei kerem mitstarfim. When we have Arla substance, that if they fell into other Paris, and they Arla by itself and kerem by itself, the halach is that the shear of bittel by Arla is a ratio of 201, and we have that ratio versus the Arla itself. We have that ratio versus the Kali Kerem itself. But when we combine together, we don't have the proper ratio. Rav Shimon Omer Emet Starfim. That since there are two different Isurim involved here, so we keep the two Isurim separately. And if there is 200 against a ratio of 200 to 1 against each substance independently, they will become bottle. So here too, if it's Issev Isser, Rav Shimon says that they don't combine, certainly the halacha will be that a combination of Issev Heter, which is so very different, will not combine. Says the Gemara, Hu Achbara. There was an Achbara, a mouse, the Nafal Chavita de Shikra, that fell into a barrel of beer and it died. And it remained there an entire day. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara is that there's a new consideration, and that's the consideration called kovish. When something is left kovish to soak, to be there for 24 hours, the halacha is that it gives off tam, even if there was no heat. Others say that it depends to what type of material it fell. And sometimes if it falls into a sharper material, the halacha will be that you don't need to have 24 hours. Even if you have less than 24 hours, it will give off tam. Says the Gemara, so we had this situation where this achbara fell into the beer. And the question now was, that now that it sat there, again, learning the simplest pshat in the Gemara, the fact that it sat there for 24 hours, it got the tam of the shikr, of the achbara, and therefore the asra funa l'shikra. So it has the tam of the achbara, and that's why they said they can't drink the beer. Says the Gemara, Amru Rabbanan Kamei de Rav Sheshes, and they, says the Gemara, the Rabbanan said over this halacha to Rav Sheshes, and he says, Nemekasavar, Noistam Gam is Osir. Presumably, the Achbar gives a bad taste. So, isn't this a raya? The Rav holds, Noistam Gam is Osir. Amalav Sheshes Ba'alma, typically Sover Rav Noisim Gam is mutter for Hocha. In the case that Rav said over here, it's Osir, Chiddushu, that this Achbar should make the beer Osir. The Miss Mus, it make the Achbar is Mus. Ubedila is something that's disgusting. Ubedila in Shemineh. And it's something that people don't want to eat. And there's no reason to make it Osir. But Filo Ahaka As Rachmana, yet we know that an Achbar is Osir. Hilkach says the Gemara that in the case of an Achbar, we learn that the Torah is teaching us in the case of an Achbar that Nois Tam of Gam Nami Osir. Because this is a very, very, very unique situation. The Achbar is a new Chiddush of the Torah, where the Torah says that the Achbar is not bottled. The Ritva asks a question. We know that a barrier, something that's a whole living thing, never becomes bottle. A Achbar is a barrier. And maybe that's the reason Rav said that this beer may not be consumed. So why are we saying that it has anything to do with Noish Tamu B'gam? So Ritva says that the Isser of a barrier is only where it's there, but it's not noticeable. In other words, if you have a whole ant, fall into your food, so now you have a situation of a barrier, and a barrier, indeed, as we learn often, is not bottled. But here, as explains the Ritva, they took out the Achbar. So since they took out the Achbar, what's only left in the beer is the taste that the Achbar gave. There, if it's all that's left is the taste of the barrier, we don't say a barrier is not bottle. Others explain that it wasn't a whole Achbar that fell in. It was just part of an Achbar. And since it's only part of an Achbar, that's why it's not considered a barrier that's bottle. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbanan Rav Sheshes, Amma Ata. If you're saying that Achbar is a Chiddush, Lach Litamei Lach V'yavish. Since we're learning that why did the Torah say that Achbar is also because it's something that's mos and people don't want to have anything to do with it, says the Gemara, that's why it's a unique type of Tumah. So then it should give Tumah, that's a unique type of substance, then it should give off Tumah in all situations. Alom Tanan. Yet the Mishnah and Masech the Nida Daf Nun Dal Rama Beis teaches us that the Achbar, the Sheretz, etc., only give off Tama when they're moist and not when they're dried. Says Rav Sheshu Lo Tameich. It said the question Shichva Zera, the Halacha of Shichva Zera Titna Lacha Vega V'Yavish. The Halacha is that if you're saying that wherever it's a chiddush, it gives off tuma under all circumstances, that by shechva zera semen, she give off tuma both when it's lach v'yavish. Yet the Mishnah over there teaches us, metamen lach v'metamen yaveshim. Elamai is lach ramana, meima. How are we going to answer the question? Shechva zera marchmana. It only can give off tuma when it's in the category of shechva zera. What is meant that it's in the category of shechva zera? Beruya Lazria, where it has the ability to produce a child, and that's only when it's still moist. Hachnami, when we speak about the Shrotzim, the reason that they don't give off Tumah when they're dried out is with Moisim Amarachmana. The Torah says, Eila Tmeilchem Chol Sheretz, Kol Negebehem, but Moisim Yitman Erev, it has to be Ke'em Moisim, which they were moist at that time. Ask the Gemara, so we keep on saying, Rav told us, we can't ask questions from an Achbar, because Achbar is unique, because Achbar is Mos. Maskelo v'shimim ma'ado, mi Mos, how can we say that Achbar is Mos? V'aloi la'shochem malachim, it was eaten in the most important dinners. V'amar v'shimim ma'ado, loy kasha. Ha'b'davra, the Achbar that was eaten al'shochem malachim is the Achbar that runs around in the fields. Ha'b'damasa, the Achbar from the city is Mos, and that's what we're speaking about, and that's the Achbar that we're speaking about in our sugya. Says the Ramban that the Achbar that the Torah speaks about is not every achbar. He says, in other words, the Ramban learns the Gemara that every type of achbar is a different type of achbar. And when the Torah speaks about achbar, it's only speaking about the achbar, one achbar. It's only speaking about achbar the most, not about achbar the midbar. Amar Rav Hilchasa, as far as what we've been learning, noistam lebgam, the loch is the noistam lebgam is mutter. Achbar b'shika, when achbar falls into beer, I don't know why Rav said it. Lo yitana my time of the Rav. I'm not exactly certain why Rav said that that's usur. Imishim the ksaver, if because he holds noistam lebgam is usur. The Rav doesn't paskin noistam lebgam is mutter. Rav actually paskins noistam lebgam is usur. Or the less hilchos could say, and then Rav's opinion is not the halachically accepted opinion. Imishim the kesaver, noistam b'gam is mutter. V'achbar b'shikra, but when achbar falls into beer, it's shbuchi m'shabach. In other words, it's a whole different explanation. The achbar itself is mos. But as the Rashba explains, what we're learning from here is that even though you have something which is by itself something very bad tasting, but when it's put into a mixture, then the taste is actually a positive taste. And that's going to be the halacha of achbara. The achbara is mos, but when it's put into other foods, then the halacha is that it gives a good taste, and therefore we can't use the concept of noistam lebgam. The Mephoskim discuss a situation where you had an aquarium with different types of fish, and some of the fish are kosher, and some of the fish are not kosher, and they all swim together. The halacha is, what would be the halacha about the fish that are kosher that might have absorbed taste from the non-kosher fish? There's a famous medrash that the medrash says that Haman setach Ahasuerus, I'm going to show you what is the Jew's attitude to you. He says, if a fly were to fall into a cup of wine, all they need to do is take out that fly and they could drink the wine. Yet as we're learning of an Amasechta, that if the Nochri, if you are Ahasuerus, touch the wine will become prohibited to drink. So the question is, Haman said to Ahasuerus that if a fly falls into the wine, we could drink the wine. So the question is, why? We just finished learning the Gemara of Achbara B'Shikra. And Achbara B'Shikra, we're learning, is Asur, as Rav said. So why was Haman's claim to Ahasuerus? So the Rosh suggests that the only time that the achbara is a problem is when the achbara is dead. But when the achbara is alive, then there's no issue of giving off tam. And that's why the question that we began with, where we have the non-kosher fish swimming together with the kosher fish, the halacha is that we don't have to worry about the fish getting tam from the other fish because the other fish are still alive. There was a famous question posed by the Paiskim where a chicken, a live chicken, this was a question that came up in Frankfurt, Germany, that a live chicken fell into a pot of dairy food. And the question was that can the dairy food be eaten? Because the chicken, which is fleishiks, gave tam to the butter. And here the question is, why? And the big question was, can a live thing give off taste? So we see that this is an old discussion. When we speak about tam, does a living thing give off tam or not? So if we're going to say that living things give off tam, then we have a question. When you have fish, kosher fish and not kosher fish swimming together, why may we eat the kosher fish? So the Maram Shif explains that when fish, in the name of his father, Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer, When fish swim in water, he says, what happens in the water is that the fish absorbs the tam of the non-kosher fish. The kosher fish absorbs the tam of the non-kosher fish and immediately expels that tam in the water. The water causes that there should be a constant belia and plata, absorption and then getting rid of that belia. And therefore, it's not the same as every other question of belia that we've been discussing in our sugyas.